The verse I want to focus this morning's sermon on started in verse number 9 where the Bible read, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand." Now we see in the Bible a very interesting verse here. It tells us that the blood of Abel has been soaked up by the earth, and it's literally crying unto God. The blood of the just, the blood of the innocent being slain in the earth is literally crying to the Lord. Now go, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2. I'll read from you in Psalms 108. The Bible reads, "Yea, they have sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, who they have sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions." In Psalms 108, when God is reflecting on the children of Israel, he says they're no better than the heathen. They're just like the heathen. They literally sacrificed their children unto devils, and the land was literally polluted. You know what? The land of America was crying last night. It was crying last week. It's been crying for years, for decades in this country, for all the bloodshed. You say, what kind of bloodshed? I'm talking about abortion. I'm talking about all these innocent babies and children that are being constantly murdered and slaughtered in this country, and nobody cares. But you know what? The blood in the ground is literally crying unto God every night, crying unto God every single day. Look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation, and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not." We see that the most evil, despicable, devilish, demonic rulers want to slay and mass murder children. It's a constant theme throughout the Bible. The devil wants to raise up a wicked leader, and that leader that's under the influence of the devil wants to mass murder children. And you know what? We see that this town, it's crying. It's weeping. And you know what? Us in America today, we should be weeping today for all the children that are constantly slaughtered. My question is, why does nobody stand up against it? Why does nobody care? You know, people have really weak stances on abortion. They'll say, oh, I'm against abortion, you know, in certain cases, in some cases. Look, it's murder. It's ungodly. There's nothing good about it. And the cries of the unborn are constantly going to God. So let's define a couple things. Well, at what point is it a child? Because we just read in Matthew chapter number 2, they killed the children. These are the children already born, you know, they're already alive, they're already children. You know, today, many people want to minimize abortion. They want to minimize murder. So they say, well, it's not really a child that we're killing. We're just killing a fetus, or we're just killing cells, or we're killing a zygote, or we're killing something that's not a child, okay? But what does the Bible say? Let's go back just one chapter. Let's go back one chapter. Let's let the Bible tell us. When is someone considered a child? When is it, you know, a child according to God, not according to whatever man thinks? Let's look at Matthew 1, verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." So when Jesus Christ was in his mother's womb, the Bible says that was a child. It wasn't a questionable thing. No, it is a child. Look at verse 23. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son." Did you just assume gender? Did the Bible just assume the gender? I think it did, didn't it? And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So who was Jesus Christ? Well, he was God with us, is what the Bible tells us. Not only that, it says that the virgin was with a child. Now, if you compare spiritual with spiritual, if you compare the Bible to the Bible, go to Isaiah chapter 7. Go back to the middle of your Bible. After Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, you get the major prophets. The first one is Isaiah, right before the book of Jeremiah. And Isaiah is being quoted here in Matthew. You know, most of your New Testament, in reality, is just quotes of the Old Testament. It's just taking a whole bunch of the Old Testament and putting it all together and explaining to you what the Old Testament meant. And then it'll have filler in there where either Lord Jesus Christ is expounding on it, or the Apostle Paul is expounding on it, or one of the other apostles are expounding on it. Look, the Old Testament and the New Testament fit like a glove. And sometimes they'll use a little bit different of a word, and it helps you define what these words mean, what the Bible is saying. Look at Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. So what does it mean? When do you have the child? When she conceives. As soon as conception happens, according to the Bible, that's a child. So if you're going to kill that conception, you're killing a child. You're ending the life of a child, according to the Bible. That's when it becomes a child. Not only that, in 2 Samuel 11, go if you would to 2 Kings chapter number 8. 2 Kings, flip back in your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 8. I'll read for you in 2 Samuel chapter 11, the Bible reads, "And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child." So I guess Bathsheba must have been mixed up, because she thought when she conceived, she had a child. You know why? Because that's what the Bible says from Genesis to Revelation. Conception is when a child comes to be. There is no intermediate stage. It goes from not being anything to being a child. That's the miracle, what God does in the womb. God is the one that creates this great person in the womb. That's the miracle of God. He doesn't create a zygote and a fetus that's not a child. No, he creates a child. Now, you can call it whatever you want with your scientific terms. You know, if you even look up the definition of a fetus is after 8 weeks of conception already. Not only that, it says it's a human baby. So, oh, it's a fetus. Okay. Yeah, definition of a fetus, human baby after 8 weeks of conception. Oh, okay. I guess that's a radical different, you know, interpretation. No. But you know, the most despicable, evil, satanic people in the Bible are the mass murders of babies. Consistently. We already had Herod. Herod is an evil, wicked person in the Bible. And you know what? He's killed not shortly after, because Jesus Christ is a young boy when he returns back into Galilee. So we see that the Lord just slayed Herod because he was so evil. Look at 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 12. "And Hazael said, Why weepeth my Lord?" My question is, why isn't there enough people weeping? There's nobody weeping today. And he answered, "Because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds wilt thou set on fire, and their young men wilt thou slay with the sword, and wilt dash their children, and rip up their women with child." And Hazael said, "But what is thy servant, a dog, that he should do this great thing?" And Elisha answered, "The Lord has showed me that thou shalt be king over Syria." So he says, look, I'm weeping right now because I already know you're going to kill all these babies. You're going to literally rip up these women and kill their babies. I'm weeping because I know that's going to happen. And he's like, I would never do that. Am I a dog? And a dog every time in the Bible is negative. Every single time. You say it's man's best friend. Well, I don't care what you say it is. The Bible always says it's negative. Every single time. A dog is something that's very evil. It represents people that are unsaved, reprobates, sodomites, people that, you know, hate God, people that want to hurt people. I mean, there's nothing positive about a dog in the Bible. So when he's saying, hey, is thy servant a dog? He's not saying I'm friendly and, you know, I'm going to lick your hand and I'm going to be your buddy. He's saying, am I that kind of evil type of a person, like a dog, that I would do such a horrible thing? And he says, you know why you're going to do it? Because you're going to be king. You know, the reality is, why is there all this mass murder? It's always for power. It's always for control. It's always trying to control some type of situation. Why did Herod want to kill all those babies in Bethlehem? Well, he didn't want the Lord Jesus Christ. He heard there's another king. Well, he's worried about that king taking over his kingdom, so he wants to kill all the babies so he can remain in control, so he can remain in power. And you know what? All the mass murders in the Bible are always for control. They're always for power. And guess what? It's the same today. There's not a different dialogue. There's not a different story. They'll spin it. They'll try and, you know, lie to the people. They'll confuse you with all kinds of misinformation. But that's always the agenda. Now, since 1960s in America, we finally legalized abortion in this country. What a great time in our country, the 1960s. That needs a whole sermon in of itself. The 1960s is where a generation decided to do everything ungodly, everything wicked. They completely just sold our country into wickedness. But between 1970 and 2014, the CDC reports that there's been 44.5 million legal-induced abortions. Now, some statistics are a lot higher. Okay, I'm just going based on what was reported, what was legal. So this doesn't count, you know, other years. It's only this specific time frame. Not only that, the ones that were literally reported. So it wasn't like just misinformation, them guessing. These are literally reported statistics from the physicians. 44.5 million. That, I mean, when you think about how many people that would be, I mean, that's like another fifth or sixth of the population that would be in our world today. You know, from the 1970s, this is 50-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 20-year-olds. There's literally 40 million people just not walking around today because of abortion in this country. Not only that, in 2014 specifically, there was 652,000 abortions. So that was about 18.6% of all pregnancies. So about 18% of all pregnancies in the United States had a legal abortion instead of actually giving birth to that child. Now you say, well, how many is that a day? Well, out of 356 days out of the year, there would be about 2,000 babies. 2,000 babies were killed yesterday, and the day before that, and the day before that, and the day before that, 14,000 last week, 28,000 2 weeks ago. I mean, obviously school shootings are bad. Don't get me wrong, okay? I'm not advocating for that. But, you know, five people die in a school shooting, everybody freaks out. 2,000 babies are murdered, nobody cares. I mean, what news station reported that 2,000 babies were killed yesterday? Or the day before? Or the day... It's just been accepted. Christians have decided it's okay. I mean, I shouldn't talk about it. I shouldn't preach about it. I shouldn't warn people about it. I can't even vote for people that are pro-abortion. What kind of country do we live in today? Where is the heart of people towards children? Go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter number 12. How about some other statistics? Well, I looked up another one, the top 25 states on abortion. So they've done different studies, different information. I looked at Texas. It was 22nd in the nation. It's not you know, leading the charge necessarily, but it's killing a lot. And it's based on percentage. When it goes based on just the total number, obviously Texas is always going to be a front runner just because we have such a large population. We had about 84,000 abortions last year in this year that they reported on, 2008, in Texas. And the percentage was 16.5%. So we're just a little bit below the average of the percentage. We're still killing 84,000. I mean, I guess that's not important, is it? The blood of the unborn is crying today. The cries of the unborn are enormous. The death toll is enormous. I looked at number two, New York. In New York, 37.6 of the abortions. So they have a lot higher ratio. 37% are ending an abortion. How about in Delaware? 40%. And you know, in the 70s and 80s, this percentage was usually about 35% most of the years. So almost a third of all the children women being impregnated, they were ending that pregnancy with an abortion rather than birth. Now look at Revelation chapter 12 where I had you turn. Let's see who's behind this. Look at verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child, as soon as it was born. That's what I think of abortion doctors. What are they? They're the great red dragon. They're like the devil. They're like the most evil thing to exist, to destroy a child right when it's delivered. This is your partial birth abortion, where they literally take the baby out partly and kill it before it's fully delivered. You know, that's legal in the United States, for them to literally murder children. Guess who came up with that idea? The devil. Guess who's behind it? The devil. Why would Christians have anything to do with this? What concord of Christ with Belial? None. Never. Go, if you would, to Exodus chapter 1. So far, we're painting a really good picture, aren't we? I mean, we've got Herod, we've got the devil, we've got Hazael, some, you know, foreign king. And we see the prophet of God, when he knows about it, when he knows what's going to happen tomorrow, he's weeping. He knows, you know what, tomorrow there's 2,000 children that are alive right now that are going to die tomorrow. And then 2,000 on Tuesday. And then 2,000 on Wednesday. And then another 2,000 on Thursday. That makes me sad. That makes me want to cry and weep when I think about all those children being murdered tomorrow. Amen. You know what? So many people don't care. So many people don't have, you know, a heart inside them, I guess. They become too apathetic. All they care about is their smartphone and, you know, who's playing a Monday night football. You know, what's going on in my world? That's all I care about. Oh, there was a school shooting where I put my kids in a government institution to be brainwashed, to hate me, to hate God. And you know what? Some of them died as a result of it. Well, guess what? That makes a lot of sense. You know what? When you keep them home, though, you keep them safe. But you know, there's all these children in their mother's wombs that aren't even safe today. They're supposed to be the safest place on earth in a mother's womb, a mother that loves her children. Look at Exodus chapter number 1. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men child alive. Look, this is the opposite of what happens in China, right? I mean, if it's a boy, they want to keep it. But if it's a girl, kill it. And we see why. Control. They want to control the population. They want to control the people. Let's keep reading. Look at verse 18. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, Why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. You say, what are they saying? They're saying before we can get in there to kill the baby, the women already deliver the child. That's what it means, heir. Heir means before. So before the midwife can come in and murder this baby, the women are giving birth. You know why? Because they're not laid up on an epidural. They're not laid up on drugs and all this, you know, modern invention. Because guess what? When you don't have the drugs and you have serious pain, your body just pushes that baby out. It wants it out real quick. But you know what? When you can't feel the pain and you don't have all these other, you don't have these modern inventions, well, I guess you have all the time in the world. Let's just hang out in this really awkward situation and so the midwives can come in and kill it. And you know what? Whenever they do an abortion, they always use these type of drugs, anesthesia and these type of things, because that's how they have to use it. They have to use these tools to kill these babies in this womb. Let's keep reading. Verse 20. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. Now, the thing about the Bible is there's a lot of stories. And you can't always just look at a story and say right and wrong. But when the narrator says God was angry or pleased, that tells you, hey, this part of the story was right. When they didn't do what the king said, when they didn't kill the babies, God was pleased with that decision. And you know what? He blessed them financially. You know, they probably feared losing their job. But you know what? God's like, you know, I'll give you a house. I'll take care of you. You don't murder children. Look at verse 22. And the Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Again, what do we see? Partial birth abortion, right? Because once they're delivered, everybody feels a little too guilty to kill it. But if it's just partially born, it was right there really close, somehow magically the guilt's gone. I don't know how that guilt's gone when it still has legs and arms and a heart and a brain and eyes and fingers. And many times they'll scream. Many times they're groping. They're trying to reach because they're in so much pain and agony. What kind of horrible people are these people killing babies? They're the most reprobate people killing a baby. You know what? The left will say, well, you have to have abortion. You say, well, how do they justify this? How do they make arguments to support the murder of children? Well, it's always this. It's rape. You know, oh, well, you know, if a woman's raped, I mean, is she really forced to care for that child? Should you really have to deliver that child? This is always their argument. I don't care who you are, where you go, the left, the liberals, the most wicked people in this country, they always try to bring up this hypothetical situation of rape to justify the murder of 44 million babies. Guess what? There wasn't that many rapes. How about let's just get some statistics. Let's see how often that really happens. Before we get there, I want to give you one other thing. The Center for Reproductive Rights, okay? So this is an agency advocating for abortion. They're real big, pushing abortion. So they have these celebrities come on to endorse, you know, their campaign, to endorse their company, and they always tell stories of rape. So you got people like Elizabeth Banks, some Jezebel devil, getting on here, pretending to be somebody, because they're acting, right? They just get up and tell the story of some other person that's technically not them. She says, I cannot have my abuser's baby. So there's a woman that was, you know, forced, then she becomes impregnated, and she tells her family, she's like, I don't want to have this baby. So she's telling this story. They're going to go get the morning after pill, which is a drug that's taken to basically kill this child that's been conceived in the womb. So it says that her friend drove her to the clinic and made me call my mom as I took the pills in our dorm. What I remember most about my experience is how the women I love stepped up to support the decision I was choosing to make. Because the life they were most concerned about was mine. Well, that's a true statement. They weren't concerned with the baby that they murdered. They weren't concerned with the unborn. But guess what? It's still a lying statement. Because if you actually love a mother, you won't help her murder her own child. There's so much turmoil and so much anguish and so much guilt from a woman who would murder her own child. That's a horrible decision. That's not helping her. It says when you love someone, you want the best for them. And that means you would do anything to protect them from being forced to do something against their will. Well, I didn't realize that it was so horrible for her to have this baby, so she should just kill it. How is that better? How is it better to just kill somebody? To just end a life. You got all kinds of celebrities, Dasha Polanco, Bellamy Young, Mercedes Mason, Mary McCormick, Retta, Amy Brenneman from Judging Amy. All these celebrities coming on, telling all these stories, and it's always about rape. That's always the story, that's the dialogue. Look, it's propaganda. It's lies. It's deception. And you know what? Even in that situation, why don't you kill the rapist and save the baby? But you know what America does? We save the rapist and we kill the baby. Isn't that what we do? I mean, the rapist goes to jail for a year and we kill the baby. And guess what? You know what? The victim will never be healed from that because they constantly go through the struggle every day knowing the rapist is still out there, still raping other women. And then they have to go through the guilt that they killed the baby that was in their womb. That's not helping anybody. Kill the rapist and save the baby. There's no reason to kill a baby because of something bad that happened. Look, according to the Bible, God's the one that opens and closes the womb. God is going to give you a child based on his own discretion. And if he gives you a child, guess what? Raise it. Love it. Live with it. But put the rapist to death. But let's see, how often does that even happen? So they did some interviews. The Guttmacher Institute anonymously surveyed 1,200 post-abortive women. So then they just gave, why did you have the abortion today? What's the reason? They give them lots of different reasons. The least numbered reason was a victim of rape. It was less than 0.5%. So less than 0.5% are these rape, you know, supposedly. Obviously, no statistics perfect. That's just what they claimed. Number three, fetal health problems. Oh, the baby is struggling with its health. Let's just kill it. How is that a good decision? Physical health problems. That's at 4%. Another 4% would interfere with education or career. Wow. All that feminism teaching women, well, you only have value if you go get an education and get a career. You don't want a baby to get in the way. No, I want the babies to get in the way. No, I don't want you to go out and get a public education. No, I want you to be educated from the Bible. I like knowledge. God is a God of wisdom and knowledge and instruction. But because your career is going to get in the way, let's kill babies. What a horrible decision that is. Not mature enough to raise a child. Oh, I didn't realize you were mature enough to kill one, though. Oh, you're more mature to kill a baby than to raise it? How does that make sense? They don't want to be a single mother. Well, I got an option for you. Don't commit fornication. Amen. Don't be a whore. Yeah. Don't just open your legs to some derelict loser. That's how you don't become a single mother. Wait until you're married. Guess what? It's impossible to be a single mother at that point because you're married. Because you have a husband. Number 19%. Now this one just blew me away. They're done having children. Done having children? They already had some children? Oh, I don't want this one. Let's just kill it. Can't afford a baby, 23%. So let's just kill it. Not ready for a child, 25%. And then 6% for other. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's all about rape, isn't it? Isn't that just rape? Obviously, I don't even agree. Rape, there's no reason to kill a baby. There's no justification for abortion. But it's such propaganda that every time they want to argue for it, they always have to lift up rape. Because, you know, if you just said, well, I'm not mature enough to raise a baby, so I'm just going to kill it. That argument doesn't really fly very well. People don't really, you know, respond to that one as well. But because of rape, somehow somebody's like, yeah, that's not fair, you know, to have to raise that baby. Oh, it's fair to kill it, though, apparently. Florida, they have to give a reason for every abortion. So the state just has reporting data. Their percentages, 0.001% is due to an incestuous relationship. Now, again, I'm not advocating for that, but still don't kill the baby. Then 0.065%, the woman's life was endangered by the pregnancy. 0.085%, the woman was raped. So they actually have real statistics as far as how many percentage. 0.085%. That's less than 1% of the time. Is that the excuse? 0.288%, the woman's physical health was threatened by the pregnancy. 0.294%, the woman's psychological health was threatened by the pregnancy. Wow. I mean, having a baby is just going to ruin your mental health. You know what's going to ruin your mental health? Killing your child. That's going to ruin your mental health. You're not going to be able to survive that kind of trauma. 0.6%, there was a serious fetal abnormality. 6%, so we haven't even hit 1% on any of these. 6%, 0.2, it says the woman aborted for social or economic reasons. Just being, oh, I'm too poor, I'm a single mother, whatever junk excuse they want to give. 92.3%, no reason, it was elective. No reason, just, oh, I just want to. 92% of the time. So, it's all this rape and it's all this horrible, you know, circumstance. Propaganda and lies. Amen. Why? Because they want to justify murder. It's selfish. It's evil. It's demonic. It has nothing to do with godliness, with God's word. You say, well, how many people are affected by this? You're just preaching, you know, about a small minority. I wish. In 2014, it says 1 in 20 women will have an abortion by age 20. So that's 5%. 5% of the population of women have an abortion by the age of 20 years old. By the age of 30, 19% of women have committed an abortion. By age 45, 24% of women have had an abortion. That is one-fourth. One-fourth of all women in the United States have an abortion by the age of 45? Oh, it's a small minority. That's a lot of people. I mean, that means you know somebody has had an abortion. Whether you know it or not, you do. I mean, when it's that high of a number, I mean, this is affecting a lot of people. And guess what? There's no justification for murdering a child. Amen. Zero. Why are there so many people doing it today? Go to Amos chapter number 1. Amos chapter 1. God will punish. You say, why are you preaching this? Because, you know, I'm not going to commit an abortion. Well, that's great. I hope so. I hope you've already had enough godliness in your heart to decide you're not going to murder children. But you know what? We should be worried about our nation as well, because guess what? All this bloodshed is crying to God every single day, every single night, every single week. Look at Amos chapter 1, verse 13. It It's in the Minor Prophets, kind of towards the New Testament. Hosea, Joel, Amos. So it's the third book in the Minor Prophets. Look at verse 13. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have ripped up the women with child of Gilead, that they might enlarge their border. Oh, they just want more power. They want more control, so they're going to just slaughter babies. They're going to slaughter the unborn. What does God say? Well, I'm going to turn away the punishment thereof. Oh, wait, no. I will not. There are certain things that God says, you know what? That can't go unpunished. There's no way I can just turn a blind eye to all this bloodshed. That will be punished. But you know, when you study your Bible, and I'm not going to prove this, but Manasseh, one of the kings of Israel, and yes, this affects Christians. Yes, this affects the saved. Manasseh, he did this a lot. But you know what? The children of Israel weren't really punished until a couple generations later. And you go through, you know, a good King Josiah who delays God's judgment. But then when his three sons get into office, Jehoiakim and, you know, all these guys that want to reject God's word, guess what? Nebuchadnezzar comes and wipes them out. It's a horrible destruction. The people in the city are literally eating their own children. They're so hungry. They're eating their own dung. I mean, it's a horrible destruction and death to Jerusalem. There's not one stone left upon another. It's completely decimated. Why? God wasn't going to let it be unjudged. And you know what? God is not going to let America be unjudged. It's already done. It's already a done deal. America's already doomed. They're already damned for the cries of the unborn. But you know what? I think we could still delay the judgment. You know what? That's usually my prayer. My prayer, if I'm going to pray something that's a blessing, is can we just be a Josiah, you know, generation? Can we turn back to the Lord for at least our lifetime? Maybe it can last a little bit into our children's lifetime. But you know what? If we don't raise our children right, then they'll get the judgment. Then they'll get all the wickedness. You know what? We got to raise our children to be godly, to want to follow God's laws, to follow God's rules, so that they won't get the judgment upon them, because judgment's coming. God will judge. God's not going to turn away the punishment. And you say, yeah, but this is happening for a long time. Not really. It's pretty much been in the previous generation before us. And guess what? We're going to suffer. The generation that turns away from God is going to suffer the ramifications of this. God said that he would punish the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate him. And guess what? Generations can get worse punishment than the one before because of their sins. Now, obviously, here's the escape plan. You don't hate God. So according to the Bible, look, the sons are not supposed to be put to death for the sins of the father. That's a law according to the Bible. But God, when he explains this, he says, look, when your dad hates me and then you hate me, guess what? Your iniquities are compounded. And then when the grandson hates you, it's compounded. You know how you break that? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, turning back to the Lord, living godly. But you know what? Those that hate God, that's why you see certain nations, they just are so horrible. I would never want to live there. Why? Because each generation just keeps hating God and hating God and hating God, and they get turned into the Stone Age. They're eating their own feces and living in filth, and there's so much AIDS and all kinds of judgment on that nation because they hate God. And all the nations that forget God will be turned into hell, is what the Bible says. Look, we as a Christian nation in the past need to get back to our roots. Need to get back to serving God. Need to get back to having some godliness in this country. Because the evil are running wholesale in the other direction. The wicked, you know, ungodly people are trying to pull this nation down, and the fake Christianity is helping them. The people that don't have a spine, because there's no men in this country, we're all just letting it happen. Well, 2,000 babies died again, and another 2,000 again, another 2,000 again, because nobody cares, because nobody stands up against it. Go, if you would, to 1 Kings. Actually, go to Exodus chapter 21 first. Exodus chapter 21. I'm not going to turn there, but we see Solomon, he even gets mixed up in this. Now, when reading my Bible, I've never seen a verse that just says Solomon literally offered his children in sacrifice unto devils. Like he was the one that was physically doing it. But the Bible does say that he had built up a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. Now, we'd already read about how the abomination of the children of Ammon was what? To sacrifice their children unto devils. Okay? And it even says his strange wives burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. So basically, I would liken this in the fact that, well, he supports Planned Parenthood. Oh, I'm sorry, Planned Murder. Oh, I'm sorry, Planned Parenthood. This organization that murders children, he's basically just giving money to it. You know, building it up, helping encourage it, letting his wives do it. I mean, at the very least, he might have been more involved. The Bible doesn't go in grave detail, but it is saying that at least he was sympathetic towards it. He's allowing it. He's letting his wives just murder their children after children after children to the devil. And guess what? These abortion clinics are synagogues for the devil, are places to worship devil and death. Death is a worship of the devil. Now look at Exodus chapter 21. I probably shouldn't have to go through this, but I feel like I do. That guess what? When you kill a baby, it's murder. It's against the Bible. Thou shalt not kill is what the Bible says. And look at Exodus 21 verse 14. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he die. So according to the Bible, if you were put someone to death, let's say you executed judgment upon someone, that's not what the Bible's condemning. Obviously, the Bible has the death penalty as a punishment, but it's saying, look, there's certain types of execution that are not right. What? Hey, if you kill somebody because you hate them, if you meditate in your heart to kill them, that's murder, and it's punished with the death penalty. Okay? Not only that, before it gave an example where if you accidentally kill somebody, you are still liable for the death penalty. There was just a way to escape. You could basically flee unto a city of refuge, and if you abide there until the death of the high priest, you would be absolved of that murder. But according to the Bible, look, if you premeditate, it's always the death penalty. It's always, God says that's evil. That's what he said when he said, thou shalt not kill. That's what he meant. And he's saying if you do that, it's a sin. It's a sin punished with the death penalty. And you know what? That's what Planned Parenthood does. It's planned murder. They premeditate. They know what they're doing. They go there in on purpose to kill babies. Now go down just a few verses to 22. The Bible even gives us a stronger verse about abortion. Look at 22. If men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. Saying what? You need to be careful around pregnant women. So, look, we have pregnant women in this church. We have women that are going to be pregnant. And you know what? That's why I don't want kids running around. That's why I don't want people being, you know, acting like hooligans in the church. What if they run into a pregnant woman and it causes her to go into early labor and the child doesn't survive? What a horrible thing that is. And the Bible says you're supposed to be punished. Now, it wasn't to the death penalty, but it was still a horrible thing. That's why I don't want that. That's why, you know, we don't allow that in the church. Obviously, kids are going to disobey. Kids are going to break this. But we need to rein them in. We need to restrain them. We need to tell them no. Even my kids will run. And guess what? They will be punished. Okay? But we see, if we keep reading, he says, and if any mischief follow, meaning what? They were doing it on purpose. They were running into the pregnant woman on purpose. They were doing something to actually harm the child. Okay? Then thou shalt give life for life. Amen. You know what God says that is in the womb? A life. Amen. And you know what? When you kill it, you're killing a life. And you know what God says? Well, your life's going to be taken. Yep. Say, what do you think about all these abortion doctors? Put them to death. Amen. Put them to death immediately. There's no excuse. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand. I think this is the way they should go. The way they did it to the baby. Take their eye out first, then their tooth, then their hand, then their foot. Burn them, wound them, stripe for stripe, kill them. That's what they do to these babies. You think that they kill them humanely? They tear them limb from limb, one piece at a time. It's so horrible. It's so terrible. Go to 1 Kings chapter 3. Now here's the thing. Obviously, when there's these type of statistics, there could be people in this room that had an abortion. And you know what? My goal in this sermon is to not just make people feel worse for their past decisions. The Bible says that God has grace greater than our sin. And you know what? God's grace can cover just about the most unimaginable sins, all of them. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he will cover any sin. But that doesn't excuse wicked sin. And if you're a person that's committed a wicked sin in your past, no matter what it is, you ought not be sympathetic to other people that commit it and say, oh, it's not that big a deal, I did it. Hey, you know, why don't you do it like I did? Why don't you encourage other people to do it too? You know, that's what evil people do in the Bible. We even see women doing this in the Bible, encouraging others to kill their children. Well, I did it. Why? Because they want to share the guilt. They want to share the blame. They want to just drag other people down with them. You know what? If you made a bad decision in your past, you should try to help encourage others not to do it. Amen. To say, you know what? I already made that mistake. Don't do it. It's horrible. It's awful. This is why you shouldn't do it. Can I please help you not make the same mistakes I did? You know what? I don't want my children to make all the same mistakes I've done. I don't want them to commit all the same sins that I committed. I want them to be better because I love my children. I want your children to do better than I did. I want everyone in this room to do better. I want us all to follow God's word better, okay? But look at 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, "Oh, my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day, after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it." She killed her child. She literally murdered her own child. Look at verse 20. "And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom." You know what I think about when I think about this? This is a side note for the sermon, all right? So you know what I think about this? The modern day adoption program. You know, there's so many women today, they will literally murder their own children every single year through a thing called birth control. And then you know what? They'll go out and do this thing called baby picking, which people label adoption, where they go to some foreign country and they just steal some newborn infant from their mother and give them a $10,000 ransom. It's called baby picking. What this woman did, I mean, she kills her child in the night and then she goes, "Oh, I'll just go take hers. I'll just replace hers with a dead child." Look, I'm against it. I'm against that. You say, is adoption wrong? I'm not saying adoption's wrong. Look, we have the spirit of adoption when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's great to help out people. But you know what? Most of the modern day adoption is not of God. It's not godly. You think it's godly for two sodomites to adopt a child? I don't think that's godly for one second. You think it's godly for some woman to take a newborn baby from her own mother? That's not God's will. That's not what God wants. You think, I'm just on the modern day adoption program of Pharaoh's daughter, right? I'm just going to go take Moses from her mother. That's so godly. Yeah, you're so godly like the Egyptians, aren't you? But that's what people do today, don't they? They start having birth control. They stop themselves from having children the way God wants them to have them. And then they go adopt some foreign kid, which they basically do baby picking. They pick out, "Hey, I want, you know, a boy, and I want him to be about this age, and I want him to have, you know, these features." And they go, you know, pick them out and go buy them off the shelf. A human life bought off the shelf? What kind of weird junk is this? And then you know what? They come to church, and everybody's like, "Oh, y'all are so godly. Y'all adopted a child. You know, y'all are so righteous. And let's just honor you and praise you." I think it's wicked. Amen. Why don't you just have children the way God intended? Now, here's the thing. Adoption throughout the history and throughout time was through orphanages. Like, kids were just abandoned by their parents. They don't have another option. And so someone just takes the child in. That's great. I love that. God takes us in. We're basically, you know, orphans. Okay? He wants to adopt us. That's great. You know what? Stealing a baby from its mother is not adoption. It's stealing. It's baby picking. It's ransom. I don't support it. I'm against it wholeheartedly. And you better not kill your own children to go steal somebody else's. I'm not going to support that. If you come up to me and want to say, "Oh, we went out to Mexico and we stole this baby from its mother," and you think I'm going to congratulate you, you better think again. I'm not going to congratulate you for one second. I'm going to say you should return that to its mother. That's not godly. That's not righteous. You know what? And because we have so much abortion, people support this option. We're like, "Well, at least they didn't kill it." Okay, just because you didn't kill it doesn't mean that every other decision you make is righteous. Every other decision you make is good. Why don't you help the mother raise the child? And that's why so many of these adoptions fail. Let's keep reading. Let's read verse 21. "And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, 'Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son.' And this said, 'No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son.' Thus they spake before the king. You know what happens a lot of times in these modern-day adoption programs? The mothers realize the horrible decision they've made, and they want their baby back. You know, they want to go take that child back that they lost, and it fails, and they have all these things. There's all these scams that go on with it. Look, it's a horrible thing. I don't encourage anybody to ever get involved with it. Again, if you have a family member and both the parents die and they have kids, take them in. You know, support your family. I'm not against the idea of adoption. I'm against the modern day adoption where you go spend $15,000 do baby picking. Yeah, I'm not for that. I'm not going to support that. Let's keep reading. Verse 24, and the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine or thine, but divide it. You know, and what should the other woman say? Well, you know what? I killed my child. That's a horrible thing. Have your child. Right? I mean, hey, I committed an abortion in the past. It was horrible. Don't do it. Please save your child. But you know what they want to do? You should have abortion too. It's cool. I got the t-shirt. I got the bracelet. I got the pictures. This is what people are doing today. They're putting it on social media. The evil and the wickedness. Then it says, what does she do? She says, divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child and no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. So even seeing the baby picking, a lot of these women feel forced to give up their children because they're so poor, they're so impoverished. They hear that they get $10,000 for their children, so they end up selling them. It's not because they want to. And it's like this mother. She's like, well, I'd rather, you know, them have it than some drug lord or, you know, whatever bad situation they're in. But there's never a good situation to steal a child from its mother. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit more history. Because here's the thing. At this point in the sermon, I think most people, most Christians, they would somewhat agree. They might think I was pretty harsh, kind of mean about it. But generally, a lot of normal Christians, they say abortion's wrong. They say it's bad to kill babies. But here's the thing. They pretty much only agree to a certain point. It's like, it's bad to kill it when it's, you know, outside the womb, partly in the womb, you know, in the third trimester, in the second trimester, maybe in the first trimester, and then it starts getting a little bit more gray, a little bit more fuzzy. Here's my question. When is it okay to kill a child? I mean, is it okay? You know what I mean? Well, it's not that big yet. It's not that developed. I mean, it has a heartbeat, but I mean, you know, I don't know. But here's the thing. People, you say, where does this come from? Where does all this abortion come from? It comes from a woman named Margaret Sanger, in America at least. Margaret Sanger, she is a prophetess from hell. She was born in 1879. She was an American birth control activist, a sex educator, writer, and nurse. She popularized the term birth control. And you know what? The name is accurate. Why? Because it doesn't prevent babies from being, women becoming pregnant. It controls children from being born, like abortion. That she also founded organizations that later became the Planned Parenthood. Says that she, in 1879, she was born during the heyday of the Comstock Act. So what's the Comstock Act? Comstock in America was legal legislation that said it's illegal, okay, for you to pass out information about any birth control. Any education, any pamphlets, any pictures, especially devices, especially any kind of inventions. But it was illegal to even talk about it. You can't even educate people. You can't even have a center where you're trying to teach people about ways to kill your child. That sounds like a decent law. That sounds like something I could get behind. It says, but Margaret Sanger believed the only way to change the law was to break it. So she just constantly broke that law. It says she was one of 11 children born to a working class Irish Catholic family in Corning, New York. At age 19, Margaret watched her mother die of tuberculosis. Just 50 years old, her mother had wasted away from the strain of 11 childbirths and 7 miscarriages. Facing her father over her mother's coffin, Margaret lashed out, "You caused this. Mother is dead from having too many children." So in the article, it tells us she died from tuberculosis, first of all. Second of all, it says she had 11 births and 7 miscarriages. That's 18 pregnancies. Now, that's a lot. Now, it also tells us something else. She was Irish Catholic. Now, there's a thing that's called Irish twins. You say, what's Irish twins? It's a derogatory term when you have two children that are so close in age, they look like twins, but they're not. It was two separate pregnancies. Why? Because they were in the same year. I'll read for you the dictionary definition. It says it's a pair of siblings born less than 12 months apart, especially if born within the same calendar year or school year, or born 1 year apart. So when someone has Irish twins, it means they literally had two children within a period of 12 years or less. Now, this is very difficult to do. Even if you're trying to do it, it's very difficult to do. But how do people do it? Well, basically, they don't like following all of the Bible. They only like following certain parts. Now, some people, they're against abortion. Great. So they want to just let God, you know, bless their womb. But here's the thing. Then they don't breastfeed. You know what? When you don't breastfeed and you're against all birth control, you're going to get pregnant way too often. And it's not healthy. It's not what God designed. It's not what God planned. Now, I looked at some different studies. So you'd say you had too many children. Well, if you do it God's way, I don't think you'd have too many children. But you can get pregnant too often. It's not healthy for a woman. They did some studies. It says the lifespan of fathers increased in linear fashion with increasing number of children. So men, you want to live longer? Have more kids. They have plenty of studies, different kinds of research. The more children you have, the longer life you will have, according to this study. Obviously, there's exceptions to the rule, but just generally speaking, the lifespan of mothers is increased linearly. So again, women, their ages, they will live longer the more children they have. But it says that there's another thing here. It says up to 14 children. So it says at a certain point, when a woman starts having more than 14 children, well, now their age starts declining again. Why? Well, you think about this. A woman's, you know, fertile years and pretty much normal years of childbirth, let's say about 18 years old, okay, to 45 years old. Now, obviously, women can get pregnant before that and after that, but that's a pretty much normal range for women to actually give birth. Now, if you had 14 children and you do it God's way, you're pretty much going to be spaced out about every 2 years, give or take. Okay, some you might have more in the beginning, but it'll start spacing out differently over the years. It'll average approximately about 2 years if you're doing it the way God designed it. Now, if you do that, guess what? You can have a max of 13.5 children. Isn't that interesting? Between those 27 years, you would have about 13.5 children. That's including the fact you had no miscarriages. Now, Margaret Sanger's mother had 18 pregnancies. So she was already outside of the normal natural health plan. So some people, they want to take it to this extreme and say, well, yeah, are you saying we're supposed to be like her? No. But he's supposed to be like modern America, us four no more? No, I'm not saying that either. If you say, hey, having too many children is going to deter your health, actually, the more children you have, the longer you will live. Many studies prove this. Many. Not only that, the women that have children in their 30s and 40s usually have the biggest increases in their lifespan, according to these research studies. Now, Ms. Sanger, she had seen personal tragedy constantly with other poor, you know, immigrant women lacking effective contraceptives. She said that she saw many with unwanted pregnancies resort to $5 back alley abortions where they would end up dying. Well, I'm glad they died. Wanting to murder their own child in the back alley, they deserve to die. In 1914, she coined the term birth control. She literally came up with the term birth control. And you know what? When she defined it, she said, we're not talking about conception. We're not talking about preventing conception. We're just saying anything after conception, killing that baby. We don't want it born in any way possible. Not just the abortion that we think of today. In 1921, she founded the American Birth Control League, the precursor to Planned Murder Federation, and spent her next 3 years, decades campaigning to bring safe and effective birth control into the American mainstream. Not only this, it says by the age of in her 70s, she was in poor health, okay? She had been dreaming of a magic pill for contraceptives since 1912. She was no longer just concerned about women suffering from unwanted pregnancies, now a firm believer in the theory of population control. Oh, what did I say at the beginning of the sermon? It always comes back to wanting to control the population, controlling the masses, the power. And look, the government loves pushing birth control. Why? For power and control. They love murdering children for power and control. It stems from the devil. It says in 1960, with the advent of the pill, Sanger accomplished her lifelong goal of bringing safe and effective contraceptive to the masses. What a great life goal. I just can't wait until we can just murder children. Just murder children in the womb. says, at the age of 81, Singer witnessed the undoing of the Comstock laws. In 1965, Supreme Court case Griswold versus Connecticut, the court ruled that the private use of contraceptives was a constitutional right. So up until the 60s, it was illegal to literally even talk about birth control. Now, it's like the number one program in the public education system. That's the number one program. It used to be abstinence. It used to be don't commit fornication. It used to be, hey, why don't you follow God's laws? You see the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not kill. Now it is, kill your baby. Let's get the birth control poster to literally place the Ten Commandments that says thou shalt not kill and say, thou shalt kill your babies. Just commit as much fornication and get as much disease and filth and wickedness in this country. And you say, why aren't you taking your kids to public school? Have you not figured it out already? My goodness. Then we look through, I'll just recap. There's another website dedicated. Hey, where does all this come from? Well, they just gave us the highlights. They said in 1873, the Comstock Act passed in the United States, prohibiting advertisements, information, and distribution of birth control. In 1916, Margaret Sanger opens Firth Birth Control Clinic. 1938, Margaret Sanger, a judge, lifted the federal ban on birth control. 1950, she raised $150,000 to create the first birth control pill. In 1960, the first oral contraceptive, so the first birth control pill, Envelope, was approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA. In 1965, we already heard, married couples were given the right to use birth control. So even in the 60s, the only people that could even use birth control were married couples. In 1968, then you get IUDs. 1970s, you have, you know, it says literally, this is a feminist website, and they just like the term. They say feminists challenged the safety of oral contraceptives, and they had to make the pills safer, okay? Wish they'd made it more dangerous. 1972, finally the Supreme Court said, even if you're not married, you can use birth control. This isn't that long ago that we're talking about our country changing the laws to literally murder its own citizens. And obviously Europe was doing it before us. They were getting it started in Japan. This is where you're getting all these devices imported from these other countries. 1980s, pills with lower doses of hormones are introduced. 1990s, the first contraceptive implant, the Depo-Provera injectable method in 1992. Then you have the Plan B in 1993, which is that morning after pill where you kill your baby right after. It's so great. Then in the 2000s, you have more IUDs. I mean, this is when these devices are being created. Just 10 years ago, just 20 years ago. Not that long ago are all these new devices and inventions to literally murder children in new ways. There's a new thing called implanting. It's a little metal rod, like aluminum or something, I don't know exactly what it is. They literally get injected into their arm, women, and then release hormones that'll cause them, you know, to have the same effects of birth control. It'll last up to 3 years. Guess what you have to do after 3 years? They have to come and dig it out. So they're literally getting a chip implanted into their arm to help them commit more fornication, to be more wicked. Now, they'll try to say this. They'll say, well, of the birth control methods, of these devices, we prevent, conception. So they're trying to say they're not getting pregnant. You know, they're not impregnating. They're not actually killing anything. But the reality is all of these devices are abortifacients, meaning they have a backup mechanism. They thin the lining of the uterus of a woman, making it where if they do get pregnant and the zygote travels down the fallopian tube and tries to implant into the uterus, it can't because it's too thinned out. It'll get flushed out and kill it. So here's my question. I mean, is it okay to kill a six-day-old baby? I mean, at what point is it okay to kill children? I mean, obviously, most Christians would say, well, if it's out of the womb, we shouldn't kill it. You know, even the ungodly, even the midwives in Egypt, they were like, well, they're already delivered, so we're not going to kill it. Now, the partial birth, I mean, how can you say that's any much different? No, it's the third trimester. Oh, it's the second trimester. At what point is it okay to murder children? Never. Never. And the Bible says you should give life for life. The cries of the unborn. Go to Job chapter 39. Job chapter 39. We're almost finished with the sermon. Job 39. Look, they're not preventing conception always. They're also killing babies. And you know, there's so many women that have had what's called a silent abortion. I'll read for you from birth control pill information. It says, the primary mode of action of birth control pill is contraceptive, not abortifacient in nature. The second method of action of the birth control pill is also contraceptive in nature. The pills cause changes in the consistency and acidity of cervical mucus, making it more difficult for them to be impregnated. The third mode of action of the birth control pill is abortifacient. The pill causes changes in the endometrium lining of the uterus, making implantation more difficult. Examinations show that the birth control pill transforms the endometrium from a welcoming, lush forest into a barren, sterile desert in a cycle where ovulation was not prevented and fertilization takes place. The pill causes a silent abortion. Silent abortion, meaning women don't even realize how many of their children they're killing in the night, like that harlot just killing her baby in the night, not realizing it. How many women are at Christian churches today killing their babies through silent abortions? Oh, but I'll go do some baby picking and make up for it. Oh, they're so godly. No, get off the drugs, quit killing all your unborn babies, and just have them what God said. Do what God said. And look, if you do the breastfeeding, you won't get pregnant 18 times, okay? If you actually do God's plan, if you do God's method. But look at Job chapter 39, where I had you turn. It says, "Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich, which leaveth their eggs in the earth and warmeth them in the dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them? She is hardened against her young ones." The reason why women would do this, they're hardened against their young ones. They don't actually love children. You know, but the reality is, I think a lot of it is from ignorance. Because a woman who looks at her born child, she has so much love and so much, you know, natural affection towards at least most women. Most godly women have that normal, just instant love. They see their baby for the first time. They love it with so much. They haven't even seen it before, and they just love it. They just know they want to do everything about it. They wouldn't give it up for a second. But you know what? Because they have this detachment, there's been a lot of lies inserted into the minds of women today that are allowing them to murder their own children. I want the women and the men in their hearts to be turned back to their children so they won't constantly kill them and murder them, so that Christians could be different. So when they look at our church, they're not like, oh yeah, a fourth of the women in there are committing abortions. And they're all on birth control. And they all look like the world. And they all have their 1.5 children. And they all are doing everything that looks like the world and sounds like the world. And they got the world rock and roll. And they don't preach the gospel. And they have no love in their heart. No, I want to be different. I want to be separate. I want to be a peculiar people unto the Lord. I want to follow all of God's commandments. Not the ones I like. It's popular to be against abortion, right? What about against birth control? How popular is that one? That's not popular at all. Nobody likes that. Nobody wants to hear that. Go to Genesis chapter 38. We'll get the one time the Bible mentions birth control. Look, there's all kinds of other methods. People mutilate their bodies literally. Women will have their tubes tied, or men will have a vasectomy. I will never have a vasectomy. I don't care what you think. I told a family member this. I said, I am never going to have a vasectomy. And they said I was a selfish, wicked person for not wanting to mutilate my own body. Look, God gave me the body I did on purpose. He doesn't want me messing up with it. Amen. I'm not going to mutilate myself and become a shim. I'm a man, and I'm going to stay a man, and I encourage all the men in this room to stay men. Amen. Not only that, there's other methods. People employ the rhythm method or the Onan method. You say, where do you get that? Look at Genesis 38, verse 6. And Judah took a wife for Er, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. And Er, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. And Judah said to Onan, go unto thy brother's wife, and marry, and raise up seed to thy brother. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his, and it came to pass, when he went in unto his brother's wife, that he spilled it on the ground, lest that he should give seed to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, wherefore he slew him also. Oh, here's your one great proof of birth control. God just kills the guy. He practices birth control. He practices a form of not having children with his wife. This isn't just fornication. This is with his literal wife. And he's like, I'm going to kill you. Now, obviously, there's other elements to the story. The Bible made it clear that in order to preserve the names of the Israelites, if a woman were to lose her husband, a brother, which didn't have to necessarily even be a literal brother, It could just be another person of the nation, was supposed to be become her husband and at least raise one child in the name of the brother. Just that way the name of the brother would live. And usually when you see this in the Bible, we see in the book of Ruth, it wasn't a physical brother, because obviously a physical brother would preserve the line through his own children. A lot of times this is just another person in their tribe that's preserving seed. He's the nearest of kin. Now, I want to look at just a few more verses. I'm going to take a few extra time. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. This is an important truth. We've been talking about all the negative. Obviously, abortion's wicked. It's evil. You can't justify it from God's word. Guess what? Birth control's the same way. Don't try to justify birth control to me. It's not godly. It's not God's will. But what is God's will? What does God want? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, so God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. God created Adam and Eve to have children. That's what he wanted them to do. That's his command. That's not a suggestion. That wasn't a good idea. It was a command to be fruitful and multiply, and God said it was a blessing. Now, when you study out through history, having lots of children was always a blessing. People always looked good upon having lots of children. It was always a great thing. It's only been the last 100 years where American culture, where Western culture, has tried to infect your mind from all this feminism and all this junk, trying to tell you that not having a lot of children is somehow better. Somehow a better life. Oh, it's cool. In Genesis chapter 9, God told Noah and his sons to be fruitful and multiply. In Genesis 35, God said to Jacob and the children, you know, who would become Israel, to be fruitful and multiply. Look at Deuteronomy 7, verse 12. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments, and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, and thy wine, and thy oil, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep, and the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Now, I think a lot of, you know, modern-day Christians, they want to mark out this first part. They just want the blessing. They want the fruit in the land, and the corn, and the wine, but they want to etch out the children. And God said it's a blessing. God said, I will bless you. You know what? Being barren is a curse. Being barren is not godly. It's not something that God wants for a nation. Now, obviously, there's some women that can't control this. It's out of their control. And look, I'm not saying that just because a person has a lot of kids or doesn't have a lot of kids, that makes them more wicked or not. What's wicked is when you take it in your own hands. When you decide, I'm not going to let God decide my life. I'm going to decide it. I'm going to take these drugs. There's so many women that are barren that would love to have children, would love to have tons of children, and they can't for whatever reason. God didn't give them children or didn't bless them. And you know what? There's plenty of women that are killing their own children. It's like, what? It doesn't make any sense. There's so many women that would love to have their children, would love to have, you know, a dozen, would love to have 15. They would give anything to just have one. And you know what? There's people killing their children. They're blessed with constant children after child. I saw a report where a woman had literally had 18 abortions. 18. How is that even possible? Go, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Well, you're reading the Old Testament. Look, Hannah, Rebecca, and Sarah, they all suffered woe because of being barren. It was not a blessing. It's a blessing to have children. But you know what? The New Testament's not different. God doesn't have a new plan. God was, well, in the Old Testament, there wasn't a lot of people, so they had to, you know, multiply. Now, we got to work, we got too many people. I mean, population overload, you know, we got to control the masses. No, look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. What does the devil want? Devil wants to kill your children and stop you from having children. What does God want? You to bear children. It's not a different story. It's consistent through the whole Bible. God wants women to bear children. Go to Psalms chapter 127. Last place we'll turn. Psalms 127. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. The reason why a lot of people don't want to, you know, have children the way God wants them is because in their mind, it's not going to work. In their mind, they got a better plan. They got a better idea. They think it'll somehow work out better if they do it their way. But God's saying, always trust in what I say. Always trust in my commandments. Whenever it doesn't make sense, still follow it. When you don't understand it, still do it. Just always do what the Bible says. It'll always be the best. It'll always work out. All things work together for good to them that are the called according to his purpose. Look at Psalms 127, verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with him in the enemies, with the enemies in the gate. What's the Bible say? I want all the men in this room to be as happy as possible. You're not going to be happy with lots of kids. Amen. That's what the Bible says. It says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. That does not mean you couldn't be happy without them. We see great men of God. The Apostle Paul doesn't have children that we know of. We don't have it recorded. We see great men of the Bible not get married. We see great men of the Bible, you know, like Hosea, he marries a whore. All of his kids are from adulterous affairs. I mean, that doesn't sound like great. You know what? He's still greatly used by God. Look, there's different people for different reasons, but the main message of the Bible is for men to marry women, for them to bear children, to be fruitful and multiply. So as a church, as a whole, that's what we should strive for. That's what that should be our goal. And you say, well, I can't do that anymore. I've made mistakes. Or it's too late. Or whatever the situation, you should encourage the other women to do it. You shouldn't get bitter and be like the whore that killed her child and be like, you should be like me. Kill your children too. No. You should be one that encourages the other women to do what's godly. Do that's right. Look at chapter 28, verse 3. 128, just skip down just a few lines. Look at verse 3. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The man that's blessed is the one that fears God, that follows all of his commandments. And look, the cries of the unborn make me want to weep today. I want every single Christian to decide, you know what, it's always wrong to kill babies. Not some of the time. Well, what about rape? Don't kill a baby. Well, what about when it's 6 days old? Don't kill a baby. Hey, should we just kill our babies and then just go steal ones from another country? No. Look, if you want to adopt a kid that's in need, do it. But don't steal one. And you know what? Take the kids that God gave you. God's wanting to give you children. If you're able to do it, have the kids that God's wanting to give you. And we should be champions for children. We should be ones encouraging children. The thing that I'm always going to say, and I'm always going to repeat, so you get it firm in your mind, every single old person I've ever talked to always says, I wish I had more kids. Take the wisdom of the elderly. Take the wisdom. Because guess what? One day you're going to be old. You know what? I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to say, hey, what's going on? You're like, I wish I had more kids. You're going to tell me that. So why can't you just learn it now? Why can't you just realize what the Bible says now? And do it. Then you'll be blessed. Then you'll be happy. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for your word. Thank you so much for your commandments. Thank you for always doing that which is right for us. I pray that this generation, that we could turn people to righteousness. I understand that all the cries of all the unborn, all their blood coming up, you can't just skip judgment. You will punish. You will bring judgment on this nation. I pray that you would just spare God's people when your judgment comes, and that if it be possible, you could delay whatever judgment so that our children could continue to serve you. And as long as we could turn people to righteousness, as long as we could go out and make a difference, as long as we can continue to preach your word, I pray that you would just allow us to have free course. And I pray that you would just spare us from the wicked judgment. I pray that all the people in this room, that their hearts would be torn towards their children, that mothers would love their children again, that fathers would love their children again, that you could just bless this church, you could multiply this church, and the women that do become pregnant, that you would bless them and bless their pregnancies and bless these children, that we would instruct them in the ways of the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.